super, super giddy because we're getting into our Cajun apologist, Carlo Broussard, and he is going to continue to talk about his book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. And if you're wondering, oh my goodness, you guys have Carlo every Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Well, Carlo's going to stick around for a while because there are a lot of chapters in the book. So and we're going to cover every single one. Good morning, Carlo. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity to share with you guys every Tuesday.
Always so a joy to have you here, my
friend. Love it. Yeah. I really do. Amen. I look forward to it.
Thank you very much.
Now, it sounds like you're whispering. What's... Is the family still asleep there, Carlo?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, yeah, it is. But I'm trying not to talk too loud into the microphone. I don't want to blare your ears out.
That's okay. I thought maybe you were thinking about that cauliflower boudin, so...
Which Jeff tried,
I must
by the
say,
way.
That does not not sound very appealing to me.
And he posted it on Facebook.
Yes, and I'll have a review on Friday. Yeah, we'll talk more details about that. So, all right, back to your book, Prepare the Way, Carlo. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about this morning?
Yeah, well, we're on chapter 13. So the idea is, how can I believe in Jesus when I can't trust the historicity of the Gospels? So one of the major obstacles is that the Gospels are seen as non-reliable. So they're, you know, they're a dubious source, as some skeptics say, or discordant documents. We can't really trust what they're telling us about Jesus. Hmm. So what I do in this chapter, guys, is I provide three strategies that can be summarized in the acronym AID. A, they were able to write reliable history. I, they intended to write reliable history. And D, they did write reliable history. So, for example, in strategy one, we know they were able because, first of all, you know, two of the four gospel writers were eyewitnesses. The other two were close associates of eyewitnesses. Mark was a disciple of Peter. Luke was a close associate of eyewitnesses, as he tells us in his prologue in Luke 1:1-4. Mm-hmm. And for ancient standards, when you have an ancient document, the author of which is an eyewitness or an associate of eyewitness, that's gold, okay? Secondly, these gospel writers wrote within very close temporal proximity to the events that they're recording according to ancient standards. So... And so, for example, what I do in the book, I don't have time to go into it here, but I spell out in detail of why we have good reason to think that the gospel writers wrote no later than A.D. 62. So that puts Mark and Matthew's gospel, for example, within 30 years of the events that they're recording.
Yes.
Now compare that, Jeff and Gabby, to the biographies of Alexander the Great, say, which are 400 years removed from the events they record. And that's not approached with skepticism. That's considered historically reliable.
Wow.
So what are you going to prefer, a 30 to 35 year time gap? Or a 400-year time gap.
Yeah,
I think I would go with the former one, right?
That's a good point.
So these gospel writers were writing within a very close temporal proximity. And then, of course, you know, they weren't receiving fly-by lectures in a lecture hall. I mean, they lived with Jesus 24-7 for 3 years. So it's reasonable to conclude that they would have assimilated Jesus' teachings and the substance of his teachings within their own heart, within their own mind. They frequently rehearsed it in their own preaching, according to Matthew 10:1-23. They were in a cultural milieu where the ability to memorize things was highly valued, so they had good memory skills.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we can reasonably conclude that they were able to record accurate history about what Jesus said and did. Now, the skeptic might say, okay, well, Carlo, well, maybe they were able to write reliable history, but how do we know they intended to write history and not myth or legend, right? Well, I think the first thing we could say, guys, is that the Gospels include actual, his, let me just say this. The Gospels include details that you don't find in myths and legends. So they're talking about historical events like Passover and the Festival of Tabernacles, right?
Yes.
That'd be like a Cajun talking about going to Pont Bro and Bro Bridge or something, listening to Lee Benoit or Damon Troy or something, Cajun music, right? Yeah. They're talking about historical individuals with high-ranking positions, Pontius Pilate, Caiaphas the high priest, Caesar Augustus, Tiberius. Guys, those are not the details you find in myth and legends. So that tips us off to their historical intent. And then what I point out in the book is that two of the gospel writers explicitly express their intention to write history. John does this in John 19:35. He says, hey, we have borne witness, and his testimony is true. John's referring to himself. My testimony is true. I tell the truth, he says, so that you can believe. Luke, in his prologue, in Luke 1:1-4, he talks about things like compiling a narrative, which for scholars in the Greek is very suggestive of historical intent. He speaks of how that narrative was delivered to him from those in the beginning who were eyewitnesses, right? And that he wants to present an orderly account about the truth concerning the things which you have been informed about. So all of these details and the very opening sentences, the verses of Luke's gospel, tips scholars off to the idea that, hey, Luke is intending to write history here. And then he even uses some classical form of Greek, which tells the reader, hey, I know what I'm talking about here. He's a pretty sophisticated dude, right?
That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so we have good evidence that these gospel writers, guys, were intending to write reliable history. Now, this leads us to strategy three, which leads in. This leads us to the next question. Well, how do we know they did write reliable history?
Yeah.
Which leads us to strategy three in this particular chapter. Okay. And there are several ways, three ways in particular, that I go about showing you and coaching you in how to show that they did. And I'll just kind of pitch them out there and whet our listeners' appetite there.
Okay.
And they can go and get the book and read it in detail. But first of all, what I do is I coach you in how to explain that there are critical sayings and events in Jesus' life that meet the criteria that historians use to determine the historicity of a saying or event. So, for example, Jesus' death, hey, man, there's multiple independent sources that tell us Jesus died.
Yes.
There are multiple sources that tell us Jesus was crucified under Pontius Pilate, right?
Yes, right.
That's a criterion that historians use. Hey, when you got independent sources talking about the same event, well, that event's historically reliable, right? We know that happened.
Right.
And then there's other ways or criteria that historians use to verify certain sayings and events in Jesus' life, and I give you a few examples in the book. But also, too, I list a few items of archaeological evidence that confirm gospel details. For example, the Pool of Bethesda in John 5, that was discovered. Or how about Pontius Pilate's name? In 1961, there was a discovery in Caesarea of an inscription with Pontius Pilate's name. So I give several examples of that as well. You know, even Joseph, son of Caiaphas, it was an ossuary discovered with these Aramaic words. So that confirms the gospel detail about Caiaphas the high priest. And then finally, I give examples of how certain gospel details are confirmed by ancient non-Christian sources. So check this out.
Okay.
There was a first century Jewish historian, Josephus.
Yes.
He mentions in his writings Caiaphas the high priest, Annas the high priest, Pontius Pilate, King Herod and his descendants. Josephus even talks about John the Baptist being killed by Herod, talks about James, the quote-unquote brother of the Lord, and even refers to Jesus as a wise man, a doer of startling deeds, and a figure who was condemned to death by Pontius Pilate.
Wow.
And so notice how this first century Jewish historian is corroborating and confirming certain details that these early Christians were including in their biographies of Jesus.
Yes.
And that gives us good reason to trust what they're telling us to be historically accurate. When you have outside sources corroborating what they're talking about.
There you go.
That's pretty darn good,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that is.
And even we have historical corroboration from the Roman historian Cornelius Tacitus in his work, The Annals, where he talks about Christians deriving their name from their leader Christus, who was put to death by Pontius Pilate.
Wow.
So, Carlo. That's the historical evidence for the Gospels.
Oh, man. A remarkable chapter here. Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church is the name of the book. Carlo Broussard. It would make a great Christmas gift, I may say. And it's not too early
Amen
to think
to that.
About that. Thank you, Carlo. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. God bless.